Well, take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and I want you to turn with me to the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37, for our message here this morning. We're going to stay right here in this psalm, and I'm going to quote a few other verses for you, but I want to share something that God's laid upon my heart for our people today. We're living in difficult times, and all of our hope is in the Lord. And I hope that we realize that today. And it's not enough to sing about it and talk about it or even preach about it. It's something we have to experience in our lives. And it is not going to get any better in the world in which we live. But all of our hope is still in the Lord. And I trust that God will certainly bless here this morning. Psalm 37, some very, very familiar verses here found in the 37th Psalm, beginning in verse number 23. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much today for the wonderful music that we've heard. Thank you for servants of God who work hard to prepare, be able to sing and minister to our hearts, that we might be prepared to hear the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We pray a special blessing upon our pastor as he's away. I pray for my daughter, Dee Dee, that you would touch her body and raise her up. And many others that are going through difficult times in this world in which we live. I pray, God, that you would give us something today that would help us, to strengthen us. Give us something that we can learn and apply to our lives in a very special way. I pray you'll take me as your servant. Give me physical strength. I pray you'll cleanse me of any sin. Pray you'll empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The 37th Psalm, without a doubt, is a masterpiece. I want you to understand who penned this psalm. David, the sweet psalmist, the man after God's own heart, the giant killer, the greatest of all the kings of the nation of Israel. He penned this psalm under inspiration of God, but he also penned this psalm because of experience. You see, David understood something that all of us are trying to find in our lives. To have that very close and personal relationship with Almighty God. He experienced that. He knew what it was to be close to Almighty God. He tells us here in this psalm, as he was not only close to the Lord, which he experienced, but he also experienced something else that we all tend to have problems in our lives. He also knew what it was to fall and not be close to God and to experience repentance and get back what he lost. There's something else that David experienced in his life. Not only was he close to God in his relationship, not only had he fallen, but repented and got back close to God, but he knew by experience what it was to fight the enemies and the conflicts that he faced in life. So in this psalm, what he really does, he simplifies something to us that we seem to not be able to understand. He wants us to know that the greatest life in the world is, without a doubt, the Christian life. But he also wants us to know that we cannot live this life outside of what God does in and through us. He wants us to simplify. Stop worrying about all that is going on in the world. Stop trying to figure out everything that's going on in the world. Get back to the very basics that each of us needs in our life. And that's that relationship with Almighty God. When you read this entire psalm, it simplifies the Christian life. But oftentimes we read it and we pick out verses like 23 and other verses in here. We fail to get the whole context of what the psalm is saying. Let me just kind of mention a few things here and kind of get a feel of what he's trying to tell us. In verse number 1 of Psalm 37, notice what he says. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. He's trying to tell us something. The God that we know has made it possible for me not to be worried about my enemies. He said in verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Hey, I'm going to do good in this world. He said, if you trust in the Lord, you will do good. He goes on in verse number 4 and he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. You need to delight in the Lord. Verse number 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse number 7, he says, rest in the Lord. When I read those verses, I think he's trying to tell me something. God needs to have a special place in my life. I'm going to have enemies. If I'm not going to fret, I better have a right relationship with the God. If I'm going to do good, I better learn to trust in the Lord. I better learn to commit my way to the Lord. If I'm going to have peace in my life, I better learn how to rest in the Lord. I think he's trying to tell us something we already know. We need the Lord. The world's not going to get better. Enemies are not going to go away. Turmoil is going to be here all the time. But I need what God designed in my life to have, a special relationship with him. So I read these verses and I find here that David, the great psalmist who walked with God, David, the great psalmist who fell and repented and got right with God, David, the great psalmist that had a heart for God, said everything I accomplished in life was not based on my talent, was not based upon my strength, was not based on the fact that I was a king. It was based upon my relationship with God. And oftentimes, we look at these verses and we fail to understand that the psalmist is trying to teach us something. When I become a Christian, I'm not the driver of the car. When I become a Christian, I am not the operator of the train. When I became a Christian, I'm not the pilot of the plane. When I became a Christian, I'm not the captain of the ship. I met a God who has control of the car, who has control of the plane, who has the control of the train, who has control of the ship in my life spiritually. And the sooner I recognize it, the sooner I'll have what he intended for me to have in my Christian life. So oftentimes I've heard this verse quoted so many times. I probably preached on every verse in this psalm. You hear people sing about, oh, order my steps in thy word. We hear all of these things all the time, but we often fail to really think about what this psalm is saying. It's saying the steps of a good man, the steps of a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered not by the president, not by me, not by some important person in life, but by the Lord. He's simply trying to tell us something we know. God wants to control my life. So he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If I understand the relationship, I'm to know that God's the driver of my car. He's the pilot of my plane, the operator of the train, the captain of the ship. In other words, if he's controlling my life, I should reach a point in my life If I were in the wilderness facing the most ferocious beast, I'd be okay. If I was sailing in a stormy sea, the ship would not sink because I would be okay. If I were flying in a plane with the storms there, I wouldn't have to worry about it crashing. You know why? I'm not the pilot. I don't operate the train. I'm not driving the car. I'm not the captain of the boat. He is. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, in order to understand what that means, I've got to understand what the words in this verse say. He says the steps. He's not talking about the steps I take when I exercise. He's not talking about the steps when I take a walk. When he's talking about the steps, he's simply saying the course of your life. In other words, when you accepted me, I put you on a course, and until I take you home, I'm going to drive your car, fly your plane, operate your train, and be the captain of your ship. So here's what I need to understand when I claim the verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I've got to understand, if I really know what that means, the very course of my life is ordered by the Lord. I don't have any say-so about my life. He does. He is the one that's in control of my life. So I need to understand that as a Christian, I have a course that He has put me on. And He is flying the plane, driving the car, captain of the ship, and operating the train spiritually in my life. Now, we say that. We say that in a few moments we're going to find out how real it is in your life and my life. Or we say, He's the captain of my ship. I'm saved. I'm His child. I belong to God. But is He flying the plane? Is He driving the car? Is He the captain of your ship? Is He operating the train? The Bible says the steps of a good man, the course of life, is ordered by the Lord. So I need to understand, when David, the man who knew God, David, the man who fell and got right with God, the David, the man who fought all kinds of enemies, says the course of my life is ordered by the Lord. So we know what the course of life is. Now, the second word we need to understand is the word ordered. Ordered. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The word ordered here refers to directed, arranged, established. So I've got a course of life. What put me on that course was when I accepted Christ 46 years ago. He took me off the course I was headed on and put me on the course that He wants me on. And according to the Bible, He is arranging it, He is directing it, and He wants to establish it. Hey, that's not bad. I've read enough Bible to know it's good when God directs my life. I know enough about the Bible that is good when God has established my life. I know enough about the Word of God. When God is directing my life, it's a good thing. I've been there when He's in charge, and I've been there when I've been in charge. And I like when He's in charge a lot better than when I'm in charge. So I understand this, what the psalmist is trying to say. Let's simplify the Christian life. Let's not worry about getting rid of the enemies. Let's not worry about every place you're going. Let's just worry about the fact that I've got a captain. I got a train operator. I got a pilot. I've got a car driver who is taking me where I need to go, leading me in the right direction, orchestrating what's to happen in my life. So when I understand the steps of a good man that all of us claim, we all say we're saved. What are my steps, Lord? You're in control of my life. We say that all the time. But do we really understand what he means? He means, I want control of your life. I want to be in control of where you go, what you do, what you say, how you behave, what you look like. I want that out of you. And then we take this phrase, the steps of a good man. We already know it's ordered by the Lord. We don't have a problem with that. How many believe you want God to order your life? We all want that. We understand that the steps are referring to the course of life that I live as a Christian. We understand when he says ordered, he says, I want to be in charge. I want to direct every place you go. And if you do that, you'll have rest. You'll fret not. You'll commit to me. My will be your will. You will be what I created and saved you to be. But there's one catch, he says. In the middle of that phrase, we see the words, good man. Good man. Well, what are you talking about when you say good man? It literally means an upright or a man who lives in fellowship with the Lord. An upright man, or an upright woman, or an upright boy, or an upright girl who lives in fellowship with the Lord, who's directing, establishing, and leading my life. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I can figure out this. If that's what it means, if I'm not in fellowship with the Lord, guess what? He's not ordering my steps. Hello? But I'm saved. Thank God you are, and I am too. But I'm surrendered, are you? I'm steadfast. I'm unmovable. Are you? Then you can be assured that every step you take in this life is ordered, arranged, and directed by God. Therefore, you'll fret not. You'll rest in him. His will be your will. You will go through this life and everything that is thrown at you and make it in this life because the steps of a good man are ordered by Almighty God. Now that we understand that phrase, let's have a little test. I'm going to give you a test on the steps of a good man. In other words, you know the steps is the course of life. You know that they're ordered, directed, established by God. And to simplify things, I don't have to worry about the steps. I don't have to worry about the direction. I can concentrate on one thing, just being a good, upright man or woman who's in fellowship with God. Now, I don't know about you, that simplifies life. That means I may need to pray a little more. I may need to confess a little more. I may need to read a little bit more. I may need to forsake some things because I already know who's in control of my life, but also know how quickly that can be lost if I'm not an upright man, if I'm not living in fellowship with Almighty God. Then my steps won't be directed. My steps won't be established. I won't have what I need in life. I won't be able to rest in the Lord. I'll find myself fretting over my enemies. I'm not as committed to the Lord as I need to be. I'm not trusting in the Lord the way I should. And therefore, my steps are going in all kinds of direction. I find myself wondering, how did I get here? What in the world happened here? Well, the one who's flying the plane, operator of the train, and driving the car that you're not even supposed to be driving, is all of a sudden not there anymore because you forgot. I'm not an upright. I'm not living in fellowship with the Lord. So here's the simple test. It won't take long. Here's what happens to the steps of a good man. Not the steps of a man. Not the steps of a woman. Not the steps of a boy. Not the steps of a girl. Not the steps of a saved person. Not the steps of someone who's trying to serve. But I'm talking about a good, upright man, woman, boy, or girl who's living in fellowship with God. So just hang on. Let's go quickly through the steps of a good man and then ask ourselves at the end, am I a good man? Am I a good woman? Am I a good boy? Am I a good girl? If I am, according to the word of God that cannot lie, these things ought to be happening in my life. The steps of a good man. The first thing I want you to notice, verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If I'm an upright man, woman, boy, girl, living for God, my steps in life, my course of life is planned. Get hold of this. Planned by the Lord. He knows all. He can do all. He sees all. He knows me. He knows what is best. Whatever he planned in my life is for my good and his glory. That means I don't have to worry about it. So what has he planned in my life, when I'm upright, when I'm living in fellowship with the Lord? Look at verse number 3 in 37th Psalm. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fled. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The steps of a good man or a good woman, a good boy, a good girl are ordered by the Lord. He has planned for my good and for his glory. What is he going to give me? The desires of my heart. You know why he's going to give me the desires of my heart? I'm delighting in the Lord and his desires will become my desires. God, is God giving you the desires of your heart? Do you find yourself not opposed to what God wants in your life? If I'm a good man, I'm living an upright man, I'm living a life in fellowship with the Lord, I shouldn't be struggling about the desires of my heart, because his desires have become my desires. What else will he give me? Not only will he give me the desires of my heart, but he determines, get hold of this, he determines what happens in my life. That verse we quote, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If I'm living in fellowship with him, he gives me the desires of my heart that he puts there, but he determines what's going to happen in my life. Therefore, he's going to do what is good for me and what brings glory to him. do I find myself griping and complaining and fussing and upset about all that is happening to me? Maybe I'm not living in fellowship with him the way I ought to. Maybe my steps are not being directed the way they ought to. Because if he's directing, then what he gives me, the desires of my heart, but he also determines everything that's going to happen in my life. But not only did he plan my life, because I'm upright, I'm living in fellowship with him, therefore he gives me those desires, he determines what's going to happen, and get a hold of this, he directs every step I take. I mean, Proverbs puts it this way: trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I've come to the point in my life where I've learned to distrust self and put all my dependence upon my Savior. His desires are my desires. He determines what happens in my life. He directs every step that I take. The steps, the course of life, they're established, they're directed, they're arranged by Almighty God for my good and his glory. He's given me his desires. He's determined what's going to happen, and he directs every step that I take. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Number two, very quickly, he goes on to say in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are planned, get a hold of this, planned by the Lord who knows best, but the steps of an upright man, when I take them, get a hold of this, they're pleasing to the Lord. You know what he's planned for me? If I take those steps, it pleases him. If he directs me in a certain direction and I follow, it's pleasing to him. If he leads me in a certain direction and I go, it's pleasing to him. I can't think of anything in this life that's more important than pleasing the Lord. When you please the Lord, the psalmist put it this way: when a man ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. In Psalm 16:7. I don't have to worry about my enemies. I worry about pleasing the Lord. If I please the Lord, he'll make my enemies be at peace with me. Man, I spend so much time fighting my enemies. Why am I fighting them? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I mean, he's directing my path. He's planned my life. If I follow those desires he put on my heart and let him determine what's going to happen to me, let him direct my steps, guess what? I'm going to please my Lord, and he will take care of my enemies. Number three, verse number 24. I'm talking about the steps of a good man that are planned by the Lord, that pleases the Lord. But verse 24, he says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Now, he's not talking about falling into sin. He's talking about a good man, a good woman, a good boy, a good girl, who are just following what God's planned for him, that's pleasing to the Lord. And all of a sudden he stumbles and he jumps right back up. You know what he's saying? If I'm following his path and I come up to enemy or something, I get knocked off my feet, I'm going to jump back up. I may be 76 years old, but if I get knocked down spiritually, I'm going to jump up like I'm 16 years old. You know why? I'm following his path. I'm taking his steps, and he is going to take care of me. That means simply this: the steps of a good man are not only planned by the Lord, not only pleases the Lord, but the steps of a good man, and whatever you come into contact in your life, your problems and my problems belong to the Lord. I ran into those problems following His direction. I ran into those problems living in fellowship with Him. I ran into those problems following His word. I got knocked over, but I don't have to worry about them. Those are not my problems. Those problems belong to the one who is directing my path. So let's think about some of those problems we run into following His plan. Every once in a while on that path, I run into some disappointments. Guess what? Those disappointments that I ran into on His path, they're not my problems. They're His problems. I accept those and keep on going. Every once in a while, I keep doing something. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying every day. I'm looking right and I'm living right. And all of a sudden, I get someone say something to me or mistreat me or hurt me, and I get discouraged. That discouragement is not my problem. That discouragement is His problem. This same David got discouraged when he went to Ziklag and they had captured all their wives and all their children. What did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. When it comes to disappointments, when it comes to discouragement, every once in a while, though I'm trying, it seems like I get a little depressed. Depression is not my problem. Depression is His problem. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance," in Psalm 42:5. Depression is not my problem. I am walking the way He's led me. I'm taking the steps as a good man. I'm upright. I'm living in fellowship with God. When disappointment comes, discouragement comes, depression comes, that's up to the one who led me on the path that I'm taking. That's a problem He will handle. What about delays? You ever wanted something to happen that seemed like it was taking forever? And you got a little bit impatient? Hey, if you're following His path, you're taking the steps that He's guiding, that He's established, don't worry about delays. Isaiah put it this way: "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint," in Isaiah 40, verse 31. So, delays may show up, but I'm taking the steps of a good man. He ordered them. He established them. He arranged them. He planned them. They're pleasing to Him. And every problem I face on that path is not my problem. It's His problem. What about if I every once in a while I get defeated? I get knocked over. I get a little bit defeated. Well, that's not my problem. Last time I read in the Bible, it said the battle is the Lord. I'm trying to be a good man. I'm trying to be a good woman. I'm trying to be a good boy, a good girl, a good Christian, a good church member. He planned the path that I'm taking. It's pleasing to Him. And every problem I face on the path is not my problem. It's His problem. So the steps of a good man are planned by the Lord. Steps of a good man are pleasing to the Lord. The steps of a good man, his problems belong to the Lord. But then fourthly, he said in verse 24, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Though, I like this. "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." The steps of a good man, if you take them, you have promises from the Lord. What did he promise? He promised his presence. He said, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," in Hebrews 13. You're taking the path that I led you? You're in fellowship with me? I promise you, every place you go, every step that you take, you have my presence. You have my protections. The great Paul put it this way: we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. They're talking about a good man. The steps of a good man, not the steps of a man, not the steps of a Christian, not the steps of a churchgoer, not the steps of someone who's trying to serve God, but it's the steps of someone who is in constant fellowship with the Lord and is an upright man. David knew this happened when he was in fellowship. You read Psalm 32 and Psalm 38 and Psalm 51. The same man that penned this could not have penned that when he went 9 months out of fellowship with God. But in Psalm 51, when he got it right, God restored to him not his salvation, but the joy of his salvation. Yeah. May God help us to stop claiming and trying to make the Bible fit us. And may God help us to fit the Bible. Steps of a good man, first of all, are planned by the Lord. The steps of a good man are pleasing to the Lord. The steps of a good man, all of our problems belong to the Lord. The steps of a good man, we have the promises of the Lord, his presence, his protection. And then lastly, the steps of a good man is found in verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old. I can testify to that. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I can testify to that. God keeps his promise. The steps of a good man are planned by the Lord. They're pleasing to the Lord. Our problems belong to the Lord. The promises he has for us. But finally, the steps of a good man, our provisions come from the Lord. There are two things he promised. If we live in fellowship with him, it's not based upon the economy, not based upon who's in the White House, not based upon my abilities, not based upon my resources. They're based upon Almighty God. If I am living in fellowship with Almighty God, here's what he promised. I will never, never be forsaken. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. God's not going to leave us in the poorhouse, in the hungry line, and not be able to make it because the world he created is becoming more corrupt all the time. You just work real hard in staying in fellowship with me, and I promise you this, you will never be forsaken. And then he said, nor his seed begging bread. He will never be forgotten. I'm sure there are many people in here been through some difficult times in life, but you can say, God's never forsaken me. He's always been there for me, always provided for me. That's the kind of God that we serve. And may God help us the next time I claim Psalm 37. I understand some things about it. I understand, first of all, the course of life that I have belongs to Almighty God. He has ordered it. That means he's directed it, established it, has it all laid out. But for it to work the way he planned it, it gives me rest, be able to not fret against my enemies, to give me the will of God in my life, all that I need to get through this troubled life. All I have to do is concentrate not on everything that is out there and everything that's happened in the world and everything that I worry about all the time. I just need to concentrate on one thing. How upright can I be as a Christian who's giving his life to Almighty God that knows what is best for me and what brings glory to him? If I reach that level of living in fellowship with him, then he has planned my life. If I follow that plan, it will please him. Problems I get into along the way belong to him. Promises what I need to help me get through that situation, they're there. And the provisions I need to make it in this life, he has promised never to forsake me, never forget me. The question today is not the course of life. If you're saved, the course of your life belongs to the Lord. He wants to order it for your good and for his glory. The question is, am I a good man? Am I a good woman? Am I a good boy? Am I a good girl? Am I at that level where what he's planned pleases him, and he's given me the promise that he'll take care of all of my problems and provide everything that I need, but he wants me to be living in fellowship with him? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The question is, the steps you're taking, are they ordered by the Lord? And are you living not a good life and being perfect, but a life that's in fellowship with Almighty God, that you're not worried about your steps. You're not worried about your enemies. You're not worried about your problems. You're using all your energy the best that you can, prayerfully, lovingly, serving. You're not only saved, but you're surrendered. You're serving. You're steadfast with Almighty God because you want to be a good man, a good woman, a good boy, a good girl whose steps are ordered by the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. How many men, women, boys, and girls in here today can say, "Preacher, I know one thing for certain. There was a time when the course of my life was turned over to the Lord because I put my faith and trust in him. He saved my soul. I know without a doubt I may not be as good a Christian as I need to be, but one thing that I do know, I am a Christian. I've trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Believe he died, was buried, was raised from the dead, and I've trusted him." If you know that, raise your hands real high for just a moment. I know that. That's settled in my heart. You may put your hands down. Now, for those of you who just raised your hands for just a moment, how many can say, "Preacher, I heard you go through the steps of a good man, and I'm being honest, I find myself more concerned about the enemies, more concerned about the problems, more concerned about what I don't have, more concerned about provisions, and it troubles me from time to time. But as you've laid out in this passage, maybe, just maybe, as much as I think I am, my fellowship with him is not as strong as it needs to be. And God spoke into my heart, and I want you to pray. I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, so we're not talking about just being good. We're just talking about being in fellowship with him, turning things over to him. And God spoke into my heart, and I want to be honest to say, I need to shore up my good man status, a good woman status, a good boy status, a good girl status right now, that I can get God to directing my life the way he wants to. And God spoke into my heart. Would you pray for me? That's you as a Christian. Would you raise your hands for just a moment? God spoke in my hand. Thank you. God bless you. You may put them down. One final question. In order for God to have your course of life, you got to first be saved. It's not about doing good. It's about trusting him as your personal Lord and Savior. And maybe today, God has never had the course on your life because you've never put your faith and trust in him. And you say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm 100% sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me that I might receive Jesus Christ as my Savior? With heads are bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. That's where you begin to be a good man, or a good woman, or a good boy, a good girl. When your goodness is not based upon you, it's based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You say, pray for me. Anyone like that, would you raise your hand for just a moment? Just a moment. Thank you, sir, I see your hand. Anyone else, just pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. The same book I just preached to from about being a good man as a Christian, it begins when you become a Christian. The Bible says, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you believe he died, was buried, was raised from the dead, and from your heart, you say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. God promises that he'll save you, give you eternal life, and take the course of your life and start directing you from the time that you got saved. And he begins by guaranteeing you heaven. If you'd pray that prayer right this moment, with no one looking around, just say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. I believe Jesus died, was buried, was raised from the dead. If you'd pray that right now, God will take over the course of your life. I'll give you just a moment to pray that. Anyone else? Anyone online viewing this service? You'd ask Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins. He'd save you. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, no one looking around, just slip your hand up for just a moment. And I want to say thank God for it. Anyone like this, I prayed that prayer and asked God to save me. Just slip your hand up for just a moment. Thank you. I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me my sins. You really meant that? Anyone else? Our Father, life is tough sometimes. But thank you for showing us through the man after God's own heart who experienced it all. That life as a Christian can be simplified when we focus on just being a good man, upright, living in fellowship with God. I pray for anyone here who's never experienced the joy of knowing Jesus, who won't leave here without trusting him as Lord and Savior. I pray for many Christians who raise their hands today. that they're going to work harder on being a good man, a good woman, a good boy, a good girl. Because if we're honest today as Christians, we want our lives to be ordered by the Lord for our good and for His glory. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for being with us here today. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being in service.